Hey there, welcome to Journeys of Empowerment, the podcast that's on a mission to spark agency in each and every one of us. I'm your host, Michiel Soetjiet-Rijt, and in this show, we'll be diving into real-life stories, personal challenges, and incredible transformations with inspiring role models for social impact. Whether you're navigating on your own journey or helping others on theirs, this space is for you. But before we dive in, I'd like to take a moment to thank our first sponsor, Neotopia, for believing in our mission. Neotopia empowers leaders, both formal and informal, to influence positive behavior change through proven organizational behavior management. Their training and coaching help teams create lasting culture shifts and drive performance with positive reinforcement. For more info, check them out at neotopia.nl. Today's guest is someone who is making waves in the world of personal and professional transformation, Lara Morgan. Lara is a career and mindset coach who runs a powerful female-only coaching program called She Thrives. Her passion is helping growth-driven individuals build careers they love, while finding deeper meaning and overcoming the self-doubt that often holds them back. With her bespoke conscious career coaching, Lara has guided countless women through major career changes, helping them shift their mindsets, tap into their potential, and thrive both professionally and personally. Her work focuses on unlocking self-belief, resilience, and purpose. And today, we're diving into how she empowers others to live authentically and achieving lasting success. Get ready to be inspired by Lara's journey and her powerful insights on career transformation, self-awareness, and finding fulfillment. Welcome, Lara. So happy to have you here in the episode.
Happy to be here.
Wow. Yeah, it was really interesting to do the research about your personal journey. But before we go to in a personal journey, can you? You are heading She Thrives. What's She Thrives all about? Tell us.
Yes. Firstly, thanks again for having me here.
Of course.
As I mentioned to you, I felt a resonance with your posts on LinkedIn. That's where we met. The way of the world these days, and it's so good to finally meet you face to face last week and also today. So thanks again. She Thrives is a female only coaching program I designed, and it takes females one to one through a journey of 100 days in total. Where we'll work together and create a career for them that they love. So this is for any woman who has that feeling inside that they're meant for more in life, or they're in a position where they're not fully fulfilled or not finding meaning in what they're doing, and they've just got that nagging feeling that they are meant for more and they can do more. So we work really closely together, and I always say to my clients, your success is my success. I'm fully there with them for the 100 days. We meet face to face once a week, and we have a set objectives for the program, whether that's building self-belief, building confidence, creating clarity in their long-term vision, aligning with their purpose, and also taking super practical action steps to get there and helping them stretch their comfort zone a little bit and moving closer towards their goals.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I can imagine that it is already a big step to acknowledge, to reach out to you. So how does that process, where are people at that moment that they reach out? How do they do that?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because sometimes I have to remind my clients of that. We'll be at a point where they're on this journey and they're feeling some self-doubt and thinking, maybe I just have to settle for this job that I don't really like. Maybe there isn't anything else for me. Maybe I can't do anything else. And I can feel their frustration. And I say, well, you're sitting in front of me now. Like, somewhere inside you, you know that there's other possibilities out there. And you can do more. We just need to work out what that is for you.
Beautiful. And how do they find you?
Lots of referrals, so word of mouth, also LinkedIn. I post on there a lot, as you probably know.
Yeah, beautiful content.
So mostly through LinkedIn or my website or word of mouth.
Beautiful. Oh, some sound. What is... Can you walk us a little bit through the process from the start to, is there a big clear beginning and a clear end, or how does it work?
Yeah, great question. So there is a structure, but because it's one-to-one, we have the fluidity to move that structure around depending on the person's needs. Sometimes people's journeys can look slightly different, or they have a certain need at a different point in the program. So we do have that flexibility, but there's a structure in place. And that always starts with self-awareness. So we spend a whole month on self-awareness, actually, because I believe self-awareness is the most important starting point. So you have everything already inside of you. So really getting to know yourself on a deeper level. What are my strengths? What are my values? What do I want? People don't often ask themselves the question, what do I actually want? We just go on this never-ending hamster wheel and don't really know where we're going or why we're going there. So it's really to get clear about what it is they want personally to achieve.
And that is really fast, because within 1 month and a weekly sequence, so in four times... Most of the times, people know a little bit more what they truly want or not. Or is it an average, that 1 month? Because it sounds very fast. It would be great if we can help everybody in the world. And when it comes to your business, of course, women, to find what they really want within 1 month. Is it an average, or does it work every time like that?
Question. I'd say around half the participants have that clarity within a month, and the other half need to go through month two, which is all about self-limiting beliefs. We are limited by what we see in the world, in our environment, and how we grow up. So sometimes we can't see the possibilities and find that clarity until we've unpacked what are the beliefs I currently hold about myself, about society, about what's actually possible first, and am I being limited by those? What beliefs do I actually want to continue with, and what's no longer serving me anymore? So sometimes it takes to go into that that more deeper mindset work before they get that clarity, but I'd say about 50% already get it within the first month.
Well, beautiful, beautiful. And is it always in an... one-on-one situation and in real life, or is it also online, or what works best?
Yeah, I do all my meetings on Zoom. I think it's nice for people to be in their cozy environment with their cup of tea and their blanket and have that comfort of their home. So we do Zoom. I work with people all around the Netherlands and all around Europe, actually. And it's always one-on-one for She Thrives. I will launch a mixed sex program next year, which will be group. But more info on that later.
Oh, not a little sneak peek about what it is?
No.
Okay, no, that's a clear no. Okay, clear. So, but that is based on your work now, or is it something totally new?
It's based on my work now, but yeah. It's not the same as She Thrives. So it would be rather for someone that already knows what they're doing with their career, and it's to get to that next level.
Yeah.
There's your little snippet.
Cool.
Rather than figuring out and aligning with a purpose.
I was hoping that it would happen. A little sneak. The listeners got the snails and still a little sneak peek. Thank you for that.
You're very persuasive guy.
This is really beautiful. And when we go a little bit more back in your professional journey, what led in your professional journey, what helped you to come to this path before we dive really deep also into the personal journey? But what in your professional journey helped you and was for you the spark of agency in each and every one of us that helped you to this path?
I did my bachelor's in psychology, and I think the fascination with people has run deeply in me forever. Got a lot of medical people in my family, and it's naturally something we always talked about, was health and wellness and that sort of stuff around the dinner table. And I loved studying psychology, but at that point, and you'll find out more when we go into my personal life, I wasn't ready to move into that field personally. I wouldn't have been able to handle it at that point. And I actually went into fashion, which was a completely ego-driven decision, I will admit. And
yep.
I do a lot of work with my clients now on separating what are you doing because you think it looks good, or you think you'll be accepted by others, or you'll be accepted by your parents. What choices are you making for other people and not yourself? And I think for me that was one of them. I thought, you know, this will be something where it will be fun, I'll be accepted, it will be a good job, and hustled my way into a role as a buyer. So I worked with teams in India and the Far East and product developed clothes for a fast fashion company in the UK.
All right. Was it in on the sourcing and production side, or really at the merchandising, putting the full collection together? What side was it on?
The middle of those two.
The middle of those two. Okay. Okay, yeah. Cool. And then for fast moving fashion.
Exactly, yeah. And after a few years, I just realized that it wasn't for me at all. It didn't fill my soul whatsoever. I was just going through the motions. And I eventually came to that realization, quit and moved to Australia and started my next adventure, which was in the HR recruitment and executive search field, which definitely led me to where I am today.
Wow. But in Australia, you moved to Australia, and there you started a completely different domain, right? From fashion buying to HR. But what happened in between that made that possible? Because I can imagine being there, coming from, where did you live before then? Before
in the UK.
In the UK. Okay, from the UK to Australia, and then moving into a completely different domain. What helps you to step into that? Because I can imagine the people who have to hire you would expect, okay, somebody with an HR background, right? And what made that possible? I love to jump, but what helped you?
Great question. I really thought, what can I do with a psychology degree? I was a lot more junior back then, of course. I was in my mid-20s, and I just thought, okay, I need to get back into a people-focused job. I don't care about these T-shirts. At all.
No.
It needs to be about people. That's all I knew. And I knew I had this psychology degree. And I was thinking, what can I do with it? How can I make my job more about people? And that's when it led me to my first recruitment job, which you're asking me how I managed to get into it. I literally think they would take anyone with a degree. It was one of those jobs where you're like hammering the phone, really salesy.
How was that for you? Are you from the buying side? Is less salesy and more process and also structure, and then into the sales, it's far more outgoing normally and reaching out and hunting for the right talent and and so on and so forth. How was that for you? That's also, besides from buying to recruitment, also the whole dynamic is different, right?
Totally. The people that I worked with, I loved, and I learned so much, and they did so much great training, and I just felt like I was absorbing all this knowledge, and I'm a curious person, and I got to talk to so many different people. Absolutely loved that side of it. The sales side of it, a lot less. It didn't come naturally to me. It wasn't what I wanted to do. And so it did feel like a really good stepping stone looking back, but at the time, it didn't feel so much that way.
No. Now, for how long were you active in the really recruitment space?
Only a year.
Okay.
And then it was more executive search, which was a lot more strategic,
yeah.
And a lot more longer-term projects and working on site with companies, really amazing companies. So that pivot also really helped me on my journey.
Great. And I saw also, of course, in the research stage, I looked into your LinkedIn profile and also saw TechLeap and 7 people coming around. What's that? That's in before you started your company, right?
Yes. So I actually moved to the Netherlands to work for a startup based here. And that's where I met Ingeborg,
yeah.
The founder of 7 People, who is a good friend of mine as well. And I still work for them from time to time on a consulting basis. So, we've been working together for the past couple of years. And I'll work on end projects from HR to coaching alongside them.
Great. And I'm a big fan of Ingeborg. I really believe in her aim in people and culture and in the domain. And also, I still got the little, I don't know how you call it, the brush with the pin in it.
Be kind.
Yeah, I still have it. I'm protecting it with my life. And so be kind. I never forgot it. So great. And when we dive into your, because there is a, what I believe when it's intrinsic, when we are intrinsic motivated, in the social impact, you have to be intrinsic motivated to be involved in social impact, to make social impact. But also there's always a story behind it. I really believe in what led you to choose for psychology and what led you to really being intrinsic motivated for helping the women you are helping. What helped you?
Big question. I guess it was the journey I had as a child that led me to really think a lot about people and about their potential and always asking why. That was something that was always really prominent for me. Why? And so when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was diagnosed with a medical condition, an autoimmune condition, and it led me to spend a lot of time in childhood in hospital and really struggling with my physical condition, my physical body and movement, and led me to an inability to take part in a lot of things that other kids could do, like PE and ski trips and that sort of thing. Later in high school, early high school, my physical condition completely dramatically improved due to a breakthrough biologic medication that came about, and I was lucky enough to be allowed to have. And my physical condition dramatically improved. But what I came to notice later in life, that this experience of not being able to do things and not feeling really in my body affected me a lot more than I ever knew and in a mental way. So I really played small and played safe and didn't push myself outside my comfort zone. Would, for example, definitely not apply for something that I may not get. I always kind of took the easy road. the road that I knew would be guaranteed and I would definitely be good at it, and really just doubted myself. Self-doubt was a big theme. And
thank you for sharing. Wow. sorry to interrupt, but no. I really appreciate the vulnerability and the openness. So sorry to interrupt, but
no.
Wow.
Not at all. And my dad passed away, I think it's coming to 10 years ago now, and that led me to the spiritual journey and the spiritual growth journey I've been on ever since. So that really kind of shook me to my core and made me realise, you know, how precious life was, and that really that I needed to take it seriously. I needed to take myself more seriously.
Mm.
And when I moved to Australia, gradually, bit by bit, I started to unravel the pieces that led me to where I was today and where I wanted to get to.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine listeners, and of course I'm very curious myself, wondering what helped you, or what can you tell a little bit more about the unraveling? Because unraveling sounds easy, but it is tough, right? How did mm-hmm. What helped you in that unraveling?
I think it's firstly awareness. So awareness of what you're currently thinking, awareness of the thoughts that are going through your head, that self-talk and that inner narrative. And I had an awareness that it was definitely erring towards the negative side, and I needed to change that. I had that awareness and I wanted to get to the root of where that came from. So firstly, making peace with the father piece, the father wounds, and also the medical condition. And that was the beginning of the unraveling.
Wow. And you now really can, it helps you also in your current role in what you're doing now and where you're helping a lot of women with, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think a pivotal moment also was when I discovered, so I was still in Melbourne at this time working in executive search and HR consulting, and I was really liking my job for the first time. Actually, I was getting some momentum and I was enjoying it, but I still had this nagging feeling that there was something more, and I had that thirst that I could do more. And then I came across a post-grad course in positive psychology in Melbourne, and that was the first big investment I made into myself as an adult. So I said, you know, I want to go back and study this. I'm super interested in it. For those who don't know, traditional psychology looks at deficit, so disorder, ADHD, anxiety, schizophrenia, traditionally, while positive psychology studies what good looks like. So take top athletes and let's reverse engineer how they got there. What are the techniques that they use? And also children as well. How can we best teach children? How can we help them embody their strengths and their raw materials and really use that to propel themselves forward? Because we now know it's way, way, way harder to turn a weakness into a strength than it is to turn a strength into a talent. So just by honing in on our strengths that we were born with, we can really blossom and thrive. And this area got me really, really excited.
Yeah, I can imagine. And is this also a study we can find in the Netherlands or not? Because it's really resonating for me also personally. I'm finishing off with the postgraduate trauma stress studies of Bessel van der Kolk. I'm in the last week, so we are going to do a live Q&A coming Tuesday, the 15th of October. So, and with Bessel van der Kolk himself, and really looking forward to that one. And it was a 34-week deep dive course into the trauma stress studies, like ARC, like internal family systems, all the real concepts, what can help us, well, heal from trauma and cope with trauma and unravel trauma. What is trauma? But I'm looking for, and maybe a lot of listeners are looking for, like, hey, positive psychology, where can I find it? So can you, and maybe I also will share it in the notes later on. Where can we find it? Is there...
That course that you're doing sounds incredible.
Yeah, it is. I can highly recommend it. I will post something about it, and it was resonating. It was 34 weeks, and of the 34 recorded webinars and also live Q&As with all the psychologists and psychiatrists involved. Was really beautiful, and but from the 34 episodes, I cried, I think, for 75%, it resonated. It really was on the nerve. So if I don't do anything with it professionally, it still helped me to become much more aware of my own traumas and also figure out what will help for me. So, for instance, Schwarz, from the founder of Internal Family Systems, he wrote a book, No Bad Parts. I have it with me today. And that really resonates, Internal Family System. So, but enough about me. It's not about me. It's more about the whole positive psychology, because I'm really interested in, and hope, I think also listeners are really interested in why this is the different angle from psychology. It's like the reversed engineering approach, right, from psychology.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And, yeah, you can study it here in the Netherlands. I know they've got a master's program in Tilburg. I think you just need to have done an undergrad in psychology. And I'm sure they've got other unis that do it as well. It's really only in the last 10 to 15 years has positive psychology been a thing. It was founded by a guy called Martin Seligman, who came out with a model of well-being, and it's often used in organisations today. So if they've got the resources, people like Ingeborg will be helping with that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay. Now, for sure, we will put something into the notes about it so people can find it and read about it, because I think it will make a lot of us curious to find out more. And wow, beautiful. And of course, and I always in my research, I wrote a few words which I think will resonate with you. And I found an interesting one. And we already scratched the surface a little bit, but can you share with us the concept of self-belief? What does it even mean, self-belief? Mm-hmm. What you know, because we tend to find words very easy to understand, but if we peel the onion, then it's really interesting to find out, okay, but what is the self? And what do we want to believe? How can we start believing in ourselves? So self-belief makes me really curious about, what can you share about that?
For sure. The difference between someone who is successful in doing something they absolutely love that's been traditionally difficult to get into, and they're doing really well in that field, isn't talent, it's literally self-belief. It takes someone who wholeheartedly believes in themselves to continue on a path that is less traveled or is what society would perceive as difficult. Or just even to make it these days, life is difficult. We need to believe in ourselves, and things do get hard. People are getting made redundant left, right, and centre, and things are tough, but you need to be your biggest advocate. No one is going to, like, nothing external is going to tell you who you are or what you can and cannot do. You have to tell yourself, you have to give yourself the permission first, and that permission is going to see you through when things get tough and when the road gets bumpy. So it's so fundamental to every single person, no matter what journey they're on, whether they're doing something really different, like becoming a musician or a figure skater, an Olympic athlete, or whether they just want to be really successful and fulfilled in what they're doing. We all need self-belief.
for sure. And in your opinion, why do we find it so difficult to put ourselves first? Why is it so difficult? It sounds so easy, right? It sounds logical. Everybody will say, yeah, it's easy. It's logical. And still, it's a big theme in the world. I really believe that self-belief, really self-belief, listen to ourselves, finding ourselves, is really challenging. What makes it challenging? Why do we struggle with it so much?
Disconnection with our hearts, with ourself. Sounds kind of cheesy, woo-woo maybe, saying connection with our hearts, but we have all this external noise that really gets in our head and in our ego. The shoulds, like we were talking about earlier, I should do that, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what society expects of me. These things get in the way of us truly connecting with who we are and knowing what we want. That's one thing. The other thing is, like I mentioned earlier, experiences we've had in childhood. So in those early formative years, we're so impressionable. So if someone tells us we're not able to do something, it really sticks. Like, I remember my mother, and she's amazing, so nothing against my mother, telling me, I really loved art at school, and telling me that you can't make money from art. And that really stuck with me. I just didn't continue with art after high school because I thought, oh, it's not a plausible career.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could have been the next Picasso. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. How can we? This is a really core part of where you're helping others with, right?
Mm-hmm.
When somebody is reaching out to you, and can you right away see when somebody feels some? What do you notice when somebody is not believing in herself? What do you see? What do you hear? How do you find that out? Because people, we tend to wear masks. We tend to have very good stories in place. And how do you find out? How do you figure out? Or how do you discover? There is a disconnect. How do you discover that? Is there something we can learn about that, or is it only a feeling, or how does it work for you?
It often presents itself as confusion or lack of clarity, but it's really self-belief at a deep level. Somewhere inside of you, you know what you want. You just don't give yourself permission to go after it because of all these things we talked about, those expectations and those shoulds. So if someone's presenting as, I'm really confused, there's this, there's that, if, but, I can't, I know that there's self-belief issues in there. To take it back to another example, for example, I believe also in relationships and in loving relationships, there's no confusion there. You know, if you love someone, there's just the utmost clarity. And I think that's the same with our career, with our passion and our purpose. We know what we love and what we like to do. It's whether we allow ourselves to pursue it as a career is a completely different story.
It is. Wow. And is there a sort of do you have always the same kind of things people struggle with? Or not? Is it always different? Or is in your career now, you have helped a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sort of an average of, it's always like this? Or?
Great question. There is a few more common limiting beliefs, I call them.
Yeah.
The beliefs that limit us from our potential. There is a few common ones. The common ones are things like, I'm not good enough. So that's even worse these days, I find, because of the Instagram generation, the TikTok generation, and constantly comparing ourselves to other people that have more, that we think are more attractive or more capable and smarter. That is just really a toxic problem right now, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm not good enough. I'm not capable, which I mentioned earlier was a belief of mine. I'm not capable of doing X, Y, Z. The I'm not lovable, that's another one. But we can have so many more limiting beliefs than that. For example, I have a client that has mentioned around that I'm not good with people. So that can be quite a limiting belief, thinking I'm not good with people, because of course in the world of work we have to interact with people every day.
Yeah, that, and it can be so paralyzing, right? To have that limit and really start believing in that limit, self-limiting belief. So, may I share a little story when it comes from me personally? My fundamental belief was being given away as a baby when I was 10 days old. And my story around it, and I'm very happy that it happened, but it still happened. And it's proven that when babies given away within the first 12 months, it has for the rest of their lives, has a profound impact on feelings, on thoughts, you didn't know because it's all in your implicit memory. So how do you find it out? How do you find out? And it has a severe impact. And what helped me is 48 years later, I read a book and it's called Primal Wound. It's from Nancy Ferrier, and Nancy had an biological daughter and a daughter adopted. And she became very curious, being a psychologist, became very curious. Hey, there are so many differences with the same upbringing, so many differences between the one and daughter one and daughter two. So she became curious and did a lot of research, and then there was even a name. I didn't have speech about, what does it mean to being given away, and separation trauma. And the whole concept around separation trauma really helped me trying to understand, what's happening in terms of forming relationships. And for me, it was always give forward and back and forward in relationships. And but to figure that out at 48, I was 48 for the first time. It was resonating, the book. So halfway, I had to put it away. I'm so very happy that you are here, Lara, that you are on the path to help people discover this in a much earlier stage of their lives, right? Because it was a really imprisoning. It's really relieving. That's maybe what I'm trying to says that it was really relieving finding out that, hey, there is a name for it. It's really in your central nervous system. It's in your neural pathways. It's traumatic experience. And it made me feel less lonely because I thought, you have everything in place. You are here in the Netherlands. You should be happy. And you have friends and you have your career and everything is working out for you. Not everything, but a lot. And what are you complaining about? And the feeling that was really isolating. So, I can imagine also women reaching out to you feel very isolated, right?
Yeah, and thanks for sharing that. I'm curious to know as well, so what was the impact of that realization of figuring out what was happening to you and why you felt the way you did?
Yeah.
How did that affect your life going forward?
Yeah, I also want to make clear that our podcast is a conversational podcast, so it's not a one-way theater. So I'm allowed to answer your question also because it's a conversation. I would love before I realized that there was even a terminology, there is a name for it, separation trauma. It's so clear that what happens in the first 12 months being for the best reasons of the world. I tend to say, I got three beautiful gifts from my birth mother. So first, life, as we all do. Secondly, my life force. It's obvious, I think. And the third one was an opportunity for a better life by giving me away for adoption at 10 days old. Still, it's a story. Still, it's... And the fact is being given away. So, but never... And what we... what's also not clear is that, for me at least, a baby comes in with new parents in a new environment. Everything is different from Mumbai, in my situation, from Mumbai to the Netherlands. Everything is new, no genetic markers around you. Maybe the smell, the temperature, everything is different. A baby comes in mourning. So really mourning and really deeply mourning about losing my mother. And that mourning kept me for decades inside. I didn't know, but now I can feel the missing part, because I was always looking for something but didn't know for what. Mm-hmm. And that helped me achieve a lot, but also helped me lose a lot along the way, because when I thought I found it, okay, but this wasn't what I was looking for, also in relationships. So the realization, and to come back to your question, it was really, really a struggling way forward to find out, okay, who am I in the world and how can I form relationships? So that's the struggling part in the book helped me to acknowledge that there is a name for it. Mm-hmm. It's not something you made up. It's in your central nervous, it's in your whole body. The body keeps the score. It's, the book says everything. And it's stored in you, but you didn't have the speech, and you didn't have the common language, you didn't have language for it. You didn't have, it's in your implicit memory, so explicitly you can't remember it. So how do you find out that this is really what's keeping you stuck and frozen in the past? And for me, the book, and later on the postgraduate study I was talking about, is postgraduate, so all psychologists, psychiatrists, practitioners, and Michiel Rijt. It's an interesting situation, and all those elements helped me, and being fortunate with a lot of chosen family as friends helped me to come to this path, and hopefully with Journeys of Empowerment help a lot of people opening up, finding ways, what helped you to become you, what sparked agency in you. So yeah, that's the reason why we're starting Journeys of Empowerment, and why I'm so happy that you're here. And
thanks for sharing. That's beautiful. And what stood out for me there was just your vulnerability and willingness to go to those places, those really tricky, traumatic places. And that's why you do the work that you're doing today. You can only take people as far as you've gone yourself. So you need to go to those depths to find the strength to help others. And that's what you're doing with your work.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And what was also interesting, what you said, was why don't we teach children at a younger age also? It should be a sort of course or a sort of part of the curriculum. Positive psychology should be part of the curriculum at a younger age, right? Don't you agree?
Absolutely, and they are doing that in some schools. It's called positive education. So there is a movement around it. Not in every school, but definitely something that I'd be interested in sending my kids to, because the thing is, we can't all be good at everything, and that's not the way we're designed, and it's not the way we're supposed to be. The biggest gift that we can give ourselves is to get to know ourselves fully and give ourselves permission to follow the path that feels most aligned for us. So the work that I'm doing with people isn't trying to help you get your next pay rise in a job that you don't like. It's to find something that brings you closer to yourself, where you can thrive, because we are way more successful and way more happy and fulfilled and great people to be around when we're actually doing something we love and contributing to the world and being of service in some way. It's no service to being stuck. That just causes frustration and anger and resentment and toxic behavior.
Toxic behavior. What do you mean by that? Because before we jump into assumptions, what is toxic behavior? If you had a magic wand, what do you want to change in the world when it comes to toxic behavior?
I think mostly judgment. Mm. people judging people before getting to know people, belittling, not looking at every human with an open mind. I think that would be a big one. Power.
Power dynamics.
Power.
Yeah. Yeah, because often we hear a lot of words like toxic behavior, and everybody says, yeah, we should end toxic behavior, but this makes it more clear. Thank you for that. And especially belittling, that's really a biggie, right? Belittling people and for the sake of getting yourself in a position better than the other.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, what I want to instill in everyone is, if you are experiencing something like that in work especially, we can often feel like we don't have the power to do anything, but you always have the power to change something. So, you know, speak up, get advice, speak to someone that you can trust. There's always a way out of the situation that you're in. You should never be stuck, and that's just one decision that you can carry to every aspect of your life. We're the creators of our own lives. We get to decide what we will and will not stand for within that.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to that, because I'm really a supporter. And to speak up, also to speak up. I hear a lot about speaking up now these days. Yet it's still a big topic. So it's for a reason a big topic. What would be your advice for people who really, really feel the need to speak up but don't do it? What do you think they can do? They really feel the need, they experience themselves really toxic behavior or whatever they want to speak up about, and still don't do it. What is your advice?
It's a common one, because, of course, it's easier to just play along and not change anything and not have these difficult conversations. But these are tests, these tricky things that come up, these difficult people or difficult circumstances are tests, and a chance for us to show what our boundaries are and show what we will and will not allow into our lives. So if we can see it as a test and a challenge to overcome, and maybe that we can learn something from it as well, then it gets a little bit more palatable. So just repositioning that, what might I learn from this? This is going to be really awkward maybe, or maybe a bit nerve-wracking and uncomfortable, but I'm going to learn something from it. So let's take it as a challenge.
I think it's a very good one, and it also where we're heading a little bit to the end of this episode, and where can people find you and reach out to you? Because I can imagine people will feel the urge to reach out to people who are stuck or who need help. Where can they find you?
They can find me mostly on LinkedIn, Lara-K-Morgan, or on my website, which is larakivamorgan.com.
All right. I will put it for definitely in the show notes, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And once a month, I get my community of women together, and we have a group coaching call. It's free for anyone that's on my mailing list, so you can also sign up to that via my LinkedIn and join us. I'm creating a community of women that share a similar philosophy in constantly wanting to improve themselves and grow and overcome the blocks and limitations that they have in order to be their highest potential, in order to do great work and support others.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you mentioned this is the community part of your work, right? So you do one-on-one in 100-day period of time, but also on a monthly basis, and that's more like the forming a community. So there's also community support.
Yeah, exactly. So for my mailing list community and also my clients, we have a monthly session. I've had various different topics, so we've done a session on personal branding, which is very important in this day and age. We've done a session on hormone health and how we actually work with our female cycles. We've done a session on human design. The next one's on wellness at work. So, yeah, lots of different topics, and we meet once a month. It's really casual. People can jump in and jump out. And I'll usually talk for a while on a topic, or I'll have a special guest presenting, and we'll also have some coaching, group coaching throughout the session.
Wow, great, great. And this is also online, or is this in somewhere in Amsterdam or what?
This is also online.
Cool. Okay. And maybe I can help you with some out of my network, really topic specific founders of let's say a company who's really focused on menopause, and a company is focused on well-being. So maybe you can team up, and it adds value to your community. Let me know.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Wow! Hey, and it is wonderful, and I'm so glad that we had this conversation. And if you what is your last words and of advice for the audience when it comes to, because it's so easy to say reach out, and but it isn't easy. It's never easy to reach out to someone and to say I need help. What can you advise? Because normally we end the podcast and then the people hear it, but there are a lot of people, also myself, struggling with asking for help. Mm-hmm. Is there something we can help them, people, to ask help for help?
Yeah, for sure. I think asking for help was one of the biggest shifts I had, and now I vow to always learn from people that are a few steps ahead of me in whatever it is I want to do or however I want to get to. So I'll have a coach that supports me with my business. I'll have a coach that supports me with my sense of self and my confidence, and sometimes marketing too. So, you know, I always think it's always great to have role models or mentors and support. And if you think, if I want to get to there, you know, surround yourself with people who are already there and learn from them.
I love it. That's the role models we at Journeys of Empowerment are really, really emphasizing, the role of role models, the importance of role models. So thank you very much. Yeah, and you want... So Lara, for you, I'm inviting you for the last words to our beautiful audience.
Thank you. Final note, if you've got that glimmer that you want more, that you deserve more, that you could be more fulfilled, happier, and more in alignment with what you're doing, that even that glimmer of a feeling, then it's there, then you're ready to go on that journey and create a life that's even more aligned and even more satisfying for you. You get to decide what you deserve, and no one else does, so you set the bar for yourself.
Oh, and one more thing, a quarterly foundation allyship shout out. This quarter, I'm honored to spotlight Fresh Table Foundation, a true pioneer in social impact. Fresh Table is changing the world one meal at a time, empowering former refugees, promoting sustainability, and advancing social inclusion through its work. Their vision of an inclusive, equal, and sustainable world aligns beautifully with the mission here at Journeys of Empowerment. Join Fresh Table's mission to make an impact. To learn more and support their groundbreaking initiatives, visit freshtablefoundation.nl today. Together, we can make an impact and a difference, meal by meal.